Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. In Ephesians 5:18, in the B part of the verse, the Word of God says, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 41, the Word of God says that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It is imperative that if I'm to live a successful life as a believer, successful with God, that I be Spirit-filled. And there is a certain way that God fills. It means something specific. And the results of that are specific from God toward the believer in their life. So he said to be filled with the Spirit, and then Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled right there is an aorist passive indicative, and it's of the word pletho. And it means to inspire, to permeate, to invade and influence, to supply, and to accomplish. I think sometimes when we talk about being Spirit-filled, we get this strange kind of vague notion about what that means. Like, we think, okay, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Does He, like, indwell him more? Like, the Holy Spirit inhales and He gets a little bigger. Does He, like, indwell more now? He's filled. Like, okay, maybe, like, there was a part of me where the Holy Spirit, He wasn't in my shoulder and in my calf. Okay, and now He's in my shoulder and in my calf. And now I am filled with the Holy Spirit. But I think this is sometimes, like, it's silly, but this is sometimes how we tend to think of filling of the Holy Spirit. But that's not what it means. The filling of the Holy Spirit is very clearly defined in the Word of God, and we are told that we are to have this filling of the Holy Spirit. The first thing we need to realize is that God does the filling. I don't fill myself with God. God does the filling. So it's not something that I can actually produce. Now, there are certain things, certain conditions of my life that exist if I am to be Spirit-filled. A person may be indwelled by the Spirit of God, but not filled by the Spirit of God in the meaning of the word filling. Now, the Word of God said in Exodus 31, and this is kind of the crux of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's talking about the workmen that were to work on the tabernacle, and there were workmen who were to work on the curtain and on the walls and on the different statues, the angels that were above it. And there were also workmen who were to make the ark, and there were also workmen that were to make the priest's garments. And about the workmen, he said, "I have filled them with the Spirit of God." This is Exodus 31:3. "In wisdom and in understanding." When I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm filled with the wisdom of the Spirit of God and with His understanding, and then also in knowledge, and that means doctrine really, and then in all manner of workmanship. So what is the filling of the Holy Spirit saying? The filling of the Holy Spirit is saying that God energizes or quickens a believer for a specific type of a task in their life. He gives them the knowledge, He gives them the wisdom. Now, why does the Word of God say that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, we're not carnal. That means that we are filled, we are quickened unto the things of the Holy Spirit. We are energized for a life that is regulated by the Holy Spirit. We have the power to become those who are constantly walking in the mind of God, walking in the will of God, walking in the ways of God. Having the power of God in us, it's not what some people make it out to be. They say, okay, now I have the power of God, I'm going to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit, His filling, is His quickening for thinking with God. The filling of the Spirit is His quickening to have His Word as my frame of reference. This is the Matthew 4:4, living by every word of God. The Holy Spirit's filling is the quickening for my entry into whatever calling that I happen to have. The Holy Spirit's quickening and filling is that energization for my portion within the body of Christ to be expressed. It only, though, comes through the filling of the Holy Spirit. You see, if I try to express my portion in the body of Christ apart from the Holy Spirit, the best that I can do is express my gift apart from the life of God. So my gift simply becomes the activity itself or the thing itself, but it's not a life-imparting thing. That can happen. But then you can have somebody who is a brilliant, well, let's say singer. We have one. We have a few. And when that person is Spirit-filled, then the life of God flows through the things that she sings. The anointing is going to be present. Because the life of God flows. It opens up capacities. It focuses people. It takes away people's concerns about the details of their life. It prepares their heart for the Word of God. That's only if the person is Holy Spirit filled. And we're very fortunate that way. Okay, that's one of the things I love about our churches, is people learn how to be Spirit filled. How to have the quickening of the Holy Spirit, the energization of the Holy Spirit, the mind of the Holy Spirit for whatever it is that God has for them. It may be that God has nothing more for them than simply thinking right that day. And so the Holy Spirit energizes that person to think correctly that day. As a matter of fact, whenever the Holy Spirit energizes a person, it will come with correct thinking. This happened to people like Saul. When Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 19, was trying to kill David, and then he wasn't all too happy with Samuel, because David went to Samuel, and Saul went to a town called Naoth of Ramah, where Samuel and David were hiding, and he went there for the purpose of killing David. But because he went to a place where the Holy Spirit was present, not only wasn't he able to not kill him, he started prophesying. He became like the prophets at that time. Why? Because all of a sudden he was in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, the presence that was constantly with those who were filled by the Spirit of God. People like Samuel. And when people would come into the presence of Samuel, or for example, this happened also when they would go amongst the prophets, they would start being like the prophets. Folks, this is one of the reasons why it's very important to guard your heart in terms of what you hear and how you hear, and also who you hear from. Because the Spirit that they possess is the Spirit you will take on. You're not going to be able to avoid that. This is why I would never sit with an accuser. Never. If somebody starts accusing, I'm out of there. Or if it's my car, they're out of there. I would never sit with an accuser. Why? I'm going to become like them. This is why Dr. Robinson had to leave that church. He was guarding his own heart. He knew very well that if he was going to sit with the accusers of the brethren, he would become like them. Why? Because he was in the presence of what was really an evil spirit. However, a person who is in the presence of the Spirit of God, a person who is in the presence of Spirit-filled individuals, that person will become like them. The best way to be trained is to be amongst those who are Spirit-filled, because you will become like them. Guard your hearts with all diligence, right? Guard your heart with all diligence. How do I do that? I don't listen to things. I don't look at things. Those are the two big gates. Eye gate, ear gate. If I look at the wrong stuff on the television or in the movies, and I compromise and, okay, so just 30 seconds of nudity. I'm sorry, you have just permanently ingrained that into your brain. You don't look at that. Why? Because that's not the Spirit of God. That is an evil spirit. And you will become like that. On the other hand, you can... I'm not against movies per se. I'm just against the ones that have the nasty stuff in them. There's nothing wrong with a godly entertainment or clean entertainment. But you have something like a movie that's maybe like some of those that have come out in the past few years. Faith Like Potatoes is a good one, I think. Okay, or maybe that one about The Passion. Okay, you can fellowship with that. You can look at that stuff and it won't hurt you, because there's a different spirit there. This is the same thing about listening things. If a person is to be Spirit-filled, then they must be a Spirit-filled hearer. Okay, so I hear the things that build my soul. I don't hear the things that are of a different spirit. You really want to know what people are about. See what they're willing to listen to. See what they're willing to look at. Then you'll know what they're really about. If they're willing to listen to things that they ought not listen to, well, they're gutless. You don't stay in the presence of a different spirit. Why? Because whatever you stay in the presence of, you will become like it. Unfortunately, most people don't have the guts to do it. They'll become sentimental and gutless. And so they'll be influenced by that spirit. The cockatrice eggs will come in, and eventually they will hatch. That is called poneros evil. It's infectious. Remember, folks, evil is the government of Satan. So it's not a harmless thing. Satan tries to get us to be asleep to this thing, but it's not harmless. It's destructive, profoundly destructive. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you some advice. Why? Because I'm the pastor and I can do that. If you get yourself around somebody who starts up with negativity, starts up with the accusations, starts up with division of the brethren, starts up with railing, 1 Corinthians 5:11, get out. Pick yourself up and leave. Why? It's an evil spirit that's present. And I don't care if they're believers. Why? There's a war. But most believers, quite frankly, are too gutless and too sentimental. And say they don't have what it takes to stand for truth. Especially when they deal with somebody that they like or that they're friends with. They just don't have it. They're gutless. I made up my mind. If I'm in a room and that happens, I'm leaving. If I'm in a room that belongs to me, they're leaving. If I'm in somebody's car and that happens, I say, pull over. I'm out of here. If they're in my car, I'll pull over and they're out of here. I'm not going to put up with it. Why? I got to guard my heart. I have to guard my heart so that it can be spirit filled. I'm not interested in another spirit. I'm interested in God's spirit. A person who is spirit filled is energized by God. A person who is not is energized by flesh, the world, or the enemy. And sometimes all three. You see, there's the thing about living in the kingdom of God. You're going to be an ambassador for something. There's only two kingdoms. What will you be an ambassador for? Practical history. In the 1980s, Ronald Reagan is president. He's not afraid to call evil, evil. And though they ridiculed him like crazy, he wasn't afraid to call the Soviets the evil empire. Why? Because he knew he was right, and he wasn't caring if you didn't like it. He knew he was right. He goes to Reykjavik, Iceland, to have a summit with Gorbachev on disarmament. Gorbachev presents things that are unacceptable. Reagan leaves. So forget it, I'm not talking to you, you're a joke. Not in so many words, but that's essentially what it meant. I'm not talking to you, you're a joke. Talk to me when you're serious. You know what happened? We won the Cold War. Because we had a president who had some backbone, some guts, who was spirit filled. I don't care if somebody's listening on this on the internet. Well, I don't particularly like Ronald Reagan. I don't care if you like him or not. But that man's backbone changed the world. The fact that he had backbone liberated countless millions of people. That was all it took. One man with backbone. My cousin worked in high levels of government in a communist country. And he was privy to the information that was coming out of Moscow. And what did he say? He said that the Russians were counting on the Americans not standing up to them. Now the journalist saw the liberal media, you can't stand up to the Russians, we're going to have a war. No, no, Reagan kind of ended the whole thing, didn't he? Why? Spirit filled. He was spirit filled. He knew the God that filled him. He knew the God who filled him, and that guy, God energized him, and he was not willing to compromise the thing that he received from God. When the Holy Spirit fills you, He fills you for a purpose. And there's always a purpose to the filling of the Holy Spirit. There's always a purpose. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, they were filled with the Spirit and they spake the word with boldness. They weren't concerned if somebody liked it. They spoke the word with boldness. They had some guts. In Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When you get Spirit filled, He gives you power. What does the word power there mean? It's dunamis. It's an achieving power. It's two meanings. It's achieving power, and it means to will also. It's achieving power, and it means to will. The filling of the Holy Spirit, what does God do? How does God, what is the effect? How does God fill the person? This is how it works. Philippians 2:4. It is God which works in you to will and to do all His good pleasure. Okay, in Luke 12:12, the Holy Spirit teaches you what you ought to say. In John 16:13, the Holy Spirit leads you in all truth and shows you the things to come. The Holy Spirit takes the believer in Isaiah 42 and guides them by the hand. He is the one who does it, and He is the one who makes you willing. If a person is Spirit-filled, then God is energizing them, God creates a willing heart in them, and then God produces whatever it is that God asks of them. It's up to Him to will and to do all His good pleasure. A person who is Spirit-filled will delight themselves in the Lord because they are willing. God becomes their delight. The ways of God become their delight because they are willing. He has made them willing because the Spirit of God is working in that person's heart, and then He gives them the desires of their heart. Listen, the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. That's being Spirit-filled. And the steps of the person who has God's practical, imparted, quickened righteousness in their life are ordered by the Lord. A person who is Spirit-filled, he knows that God doesn't save by the sword or by the spear in 1 Samuel 17:47. But the battle is the Lord's. A person who is Spirit-filled doesn't live in the fear of the situation. Although the situation may be frightening to them, they don't live in the fear of it, because they know that whatever happens, it is God who fights their battle. God saves them in Judges 7:7. God delivers them. He fights for them. He takes care of them. He provides for them, because they are Spirit-filled. The person who is Spirit-filled prays and they receive answers. The person who is Spirit-filled has the authority of God in their life. And they don't even think about it, but the things that they say and the things that they do and even the things that they think are life-imparting. This is because they are Spirit-filled. The Holy Spirit acting in a person's life to manifest the life of God. That's Spirit-filled. It's very simple. It's very simple. Moses said, I put this day before you, life and death. I call heaven and earth to testify that God has placed before you life and death. And then he said, and I'm paraphrasing, the choice is yours. Do you know that most people choose death? But he said, choose life. But most people choose death. Why? Self prevents me from being Spirit-filled. And I live in the death of the old man. On the other hand, I put on the new man. I'm Spirit-filled. And I have complete newness of life. It's a much better deal. It's up to the individual. But whether anyone likes it or not, there are two kingdoms. There are two trees. There are two ways. One of them gives life, and one of them gives death. And the difference is not in being the believer. The difference is in being spirit-filled. Amen?